Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, October the 5th, 2020. This is Air Force veteran David Corey, along with my co-host Richard Hurley. We have several segments in our show tonight, lots of news and information of interest, not only to veterans and their families, but I think to everyone. So we hope you'll stay tuned. First, let's go over to Richard Hurley. Hello, Richard. How are things
going?
Hey,
David. How's everybody doing out there? How you doing, David? And good evening. You know, this is our Monday evening show. I hope everyone's out there getting ready to listen. We've got some good stuff for you tonight. Before we get to that, I want to remind everybody that this is a call-in show. That number is 1-888-627-6008, and periodically throughout the show, we'll try to give that number out again. We welcome your views, your comments, and your questions. You know, veterans and your families, if you have questions, maybe you hear something during the show or that you want to talk about that affects you personally or your family. Or you have another topic that you just want to run by David and I. There's always changing news going on in the VA, and David and I try to stay as up on this stuff as possible. So give us a shout, and we'll be happy to answer any of your questions. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. So let's get things rolling and send it back to David.
Thanks, Richard. You know, the first segment of the show tonight, I think may be of interest not just to veterans and their families, but everyone. It goes without saying that the year 2020 has been one heck of a trying year for everyone with the COVID-19, the coronavirus pandemic, with the tremendous economic hardships that have sprung out from the pandemic, with the contentiousness and divisions in the country over the ongoing presidential campaign, with the wildfires that are plaguing California and many other western states, with just so much going on around the country. I thought that this first segment might have some practical application for many people, so I hope it's helpful. It's basically we want to present some information and resources. It's from the VA about successfully dealing with post-traumatic stress, depression, and also just the ordinary stresses of life, as well as the extraordinary stresses of life. We have three audio tapes, thanks to the VA, give them credit for these, about these topics. The first will be about post-traumatic stress. According to the VA, post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, is a mental health problem that can occur after someone goes through a traumatic event like combat, assault, a disaster, but really any sort of traumatic event. It certainly surpasses just people in the military. And most people do have some stress reactions after trauma. The reactions can disrupt a person's life, and if they don't go away over time, you may have post-traumatic stress. There's four main types of symptoms of PTSD. Those include reliving the event, avoiding reminders of the event, negative changes in feelings and belief, and just feeling keyed up a lot of the time, stressed out, in other words. According to the VA statistics, about 8 out of every 100 people, or about 8% of the population, will have PTSD at some point in their lives. Going through trauma doesn't necessarily mean you'll get post-traumatic stress disorder. Even though over half of us go through some type of trauma in our life, a much smaller percentage develop PTSD. Now, some people with PTSD assume their PTSD symptoms will go away with just the passage of time. That might be the case for some people, but it's certainly not true for everyone. Most people who are going to get better without treatment usually get better in the first year, according to the VA. So if you've had your symptoms for more than a year, they are likely to be long-lasting without treatment. So you may ask yourself, well, how is post-traumatic stress disorder treated? According to the VA, there's no one single treatment that works for everyone. It's not one size fits all. But in general, people who receive an evidence-based treatment, in other words, a treatment proven to work in multiple research studies for post-traumatic stress show a noticeable improvement in their symptoms, and many no longer have PTSD at all. So in this first tape, courtesy of the VA, you will learn about evidence-based PTSD treatments, including different types of psychotherapy, also called talk therapy or counseling, as well as medication. So, Doug, if you'll please roll this first tape on PTSD treatment options.
So, you've been diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You might be thinking, does therapy for PTSD really work? Or what about medications? Well, there are treatments that work, and you have choices. We're going to show you PTSD treatments that are evidence-based, which means they've been proven to work in multiple scientific studies. Two of the most effective PTSD treatments are cognitive processing therapy and prolonged exposure. Both are cognitive behavioral therapies, CBT for short. CBT is far from just talking. You'll learn skills to manage your PTSD symptoms. Cognitive processing therapy teaches you how to change negative thoughts about your trauma, which can have a big impact on how you feel. Prolonged exposure helps you confront memories and situations you've been avoiding since your trauma. This gets easier with time, and eventually, you won't need to avoid them. Another effective therapy is EMDR, which involves thinking about images and feelings that distress you while doing rapid eye movements. This can help you change how you react to trauma memories. Therapies like these usually take 3 to 4 months of weekly visits, and improvement can last for years. Medications are another effective option. The best medications for treating PTSD symptoms are antidepressants, specifically SSRIs and SNRIs. Antidepressants work by helping brain cells communicate better, and that can make you feel better. Improvements in your PTSD symptoms will last for as long as you keep taking them. You might have heard about benzodiazepines, or benzos. In the past, doctors prescribed these anti-anxiety medications for PTSD. New research shows anti-anxiety medications may interfere with therapy and do not improve PTSD. These medications can also lead to harmful side effects like confusion, fogginess, and accidents or falls. If you're taking benzodiazepines or other medications with potentially harmful side effects like atypical antipsychotics, talk to your doctor about whether you should safely stop them. There are more effective options for PTSD. It's common to have other problems at the same time you have PTSD, like chronic pain, depression, substance abuse, a history of traumatic brain injury, or insomnia. Often, treatments effective for PTSD can help with these problems too. In other cases, your doctor might suggest an additional treatment. For example, there's a special type of cognitive behavioral therapy called CBTI. The I is for insomnia. CBTI teaches you skills that can improve your sleep, even after just a few therapy appointments. Some antidepressants can help with sleep too, and there is a medication called Prazosin specifically for nightmares. So, where do you start? Talk to your provider about which effective treatment options are right for you. Therapy, medications, or maybe both. And remember, it's always important to talk to your doctor before stopping or switching medications. For more information, visit the National Center for PTSD website at www.ptsd.va.gov. To find a mental health provider, click the Get Help for PTSD button or see success stories at About Face.
Well, we'd like to thank the VA for that overview of PTSD treatment options. And again, the website for the National Center for PTSD is ptsd.va.gov, ptsd.va.gov. Rick, what are your thoughts?
Well, that was a pretty simplified tape of a very complex issue. And, you know, you and I deal with PTSD probably every day. I got to say, with all the clients that we deal with, at least once, maybe even more times a day, this pops up. And, you know, the tape said it. I mean, there's no one way to handle it. There's no, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be. You can just define it this way. Every veteran who has gone through combat or some aspect of their military service is exposed to different types of trauma, and every veteran is going to react differently to that trauma. I've had some veterans who were combat Vietnam vets, and when we get into this issue, they'll tell me right out, I'm fine. I'm okay, and their combat experience was pretty horrific. And then you've got some who didn't have as much combat experience, and they're basket cases. So it's a case by case situation, I think, in terms of treating it. You know, I'm not a fan of medication. I've said that many times on this show. I think medication can run into lots of problems. I see too often that the VA tends to throw out the medication to these veterans and then just say, okay, here you go, take this and see you later. Which leads me to another issue that I have with the VA, and that is that I don't find that the services that they're rendering for veterans is really all that helpful. You hear so many different stories. The veteran comes in and tells me that he doesn't like his psychologist, or he likes his psychologist, and then 3 months later he goes back for another appointment and the psychologist is gone. It's been transferred somewhere else. Now the veteran has to get used to a new psychologist, and the new psychologist might turn around and say, well, we're going to take you off the medication that you were on, and we're going to put you on something else. And the veteran's like, wait a second, it took me 3 months to get on that medication. It's working. Why are you taking me off? And the response usually is because I can and I want to. It can be a very dreadful experience for a lot of veterans. But I believe in looking at different methods, different alternative methods. I believe in, yoga therapy. I don't think they talked about that. I think yoga therapy, any form of spiritual therapy can be very helpful. Some veterans are finding the use of marijuana to be being very helpful. Or the oils from marijuana, from the THC. So PTSD is a very real disorder for our veterans, and it has to be dealt with by the veteran and the veteran's family. You know, David, you and I talk about that quite a bit, that PTSD isn't just a disorder for the veteran. It affects the whole family. Whole family goes through it, and we've witnessed that as well. So it's a huge topic. And I know I've been telling you, David, that I'd like to do another documentary for our firm, and I wanted to devote it to PTSD. But again, it's a huge topic. Back to you. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you, and certainly that short 3.5-minute tape was just to provide an overview of the kind of the different categories. As we've had some guests on our show over the last 3.5 years, it's been a variety of guests that have all tried to address PTSD. For instance, a couple of our shows, or several of our shows actually, we had folks that ran or were successful patients of Camp Hope in Houston, Texas, run by the PTSD Foundation of America. And I know, Rick, you personally visited that facility, and I think you were pretty impressed with it. And yep. They used a variety of techniques. I mean, for some people, medication is necessary and works. For other people, other things. And then we've had other shows where we've had guests talk about the value of pet therapy. You know, we had a guest on a few months ago from the organization Paws for Purple Hearts, which trains service dogs to help combat veterans suffering from PTSD. So certainly, there are a lot of options out there, and I guess the challenge is requiring, persistence and patience to try to find what works. All right, let's go on to our second tape tonight. This is also from the VA. It's just under 5 minutes. It deals with the topic of coping with depression, which I think can be an important topic which sort of transcends veterans' issues with everything going on in the country. So, Doug, if you'll please roll the second tape, Coping with Depression.
Do you sometimes feel sad or have the blues? This is normal and a part of everyday living. It's also normal to feel depressed after a loved one dies, or after a serious illness diagnosis. We may cry, have trouble sleeping, or lose our appetite. But what's not normal is to feel this way for long periods of time. Depression is a mood disorder that affects how you feel and think, and how you manage daily activities. Depression can happen at any time in your life. Major depression can affect more than your mood. For example, you might be sleeping a lot, or not sleeping enough. You could lose weight or gain weight, and generally lose interest in your life. You may even have thoughts about your own death. Sometimes, depression happens when a person has other serious conditions, like cancer, heart disease, or PTSD. Also, a person may be abusing drugs or alcohol, or withdrawing from them, and could also be suffering from depression. It's important that veterans seen at VA facilities are screened every year for depression. Depression can be difficult to diagnose, especially when a person has a tough time talking about their feelings. It can be a sensitive topic to bring up with a healthcare provider. However, sometimes a spouse or partner will mention their loved one is having trouble sleeping and is grouchy all the time. With these symptoms, there's often a problem with depression going on too. Some other signs and symptoms of depression may include feeling anxious or having an empty mood that won't go away, feeling hopeless or worthless, losing interest in hobbies or activities you once enjoyed, feeling aches or pains that don't have a clear cause, even after they've been treated. The good news is that depression can be treated successfully, so you can return to feeling more like yourself. If you are a veteran enrolled in VA healthcare and you or your loved one suspects you may have depression, contact your VA primary care provider, a patient-aligned care team member, or a mental health professional for help. If you are diagnosed with depression, your treatment may include medication and psychotherapy, which is also called cognitive behavior therapy, or a combination of both. Psychotherapy helps by teaching you new ways of thinking and behaving, and changing habits that can add to your depression. People usually do best when they receive both kinds of treatment. Gradually, with proper treatment, you'll start to feel better. During this time, continue to do things you enjoy, but go easy on yourself. Be active and be with other people. Get good rest. Eat at regular times. Ask for help from your family, friends, and your healthcare team. Put off making any major life decisions until you feel better. Remember, don't use alcohol or drugs that are not prescribed to you because they can make your depression worse and harder to treat. If you are concerned about a loved one who is talking about suicide or death, always take them seriously. If they refuse to get help for them anyway. Call the Veterans Crisis Line. It's a confidential, toll-free hotline, online chat or text. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Veterans or their loved ones can call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or text a message to 838-255 to get immediate help and support. Or to have an online chat, visit www.veteranscrisisline.net. Do you have more questions about depression and how to cope with it? Talk with your VA healthcare team. Or you can visit www.mentalhealth.va.gov/depression. There, you can find out about many programs and services to help. Remember, depression can be treated. If you think you have depression, seek help. The VA wants you to have the best care possible, so you can get back to feeling like yourself again.
Well, thanks again to the VA for that overview on coping with depression, an important topic. Before we move on to our third tape, let's go over to Richard Hurley. Rick, what are your thoughts?
That was really good. And, you know, one of the things that I take away from that is the if you're suicidal, if you have thoughts of suicide ideation, you you have to seek help. Family, if you're witnessing your loved one, your veteran, and you sense that he or she is kind of becoming an introvert and staying away and becoming very alone, you know, reach out to somebody, because you just don't want to, you know, you don't want to wait, because waiting can result in something very tragic, and a tragedy that can be avoided. You know, again, David, you and I, we've seen the suicides, and, you know, there were situations in those particular fact circumstances where the suicide probably could have been avoided if there was just more people looking in on the veteran. Before we do go to the next segment, I want to remind people that our call-in show number is 1-888-627-6008. You know, this is a really, really important topic for families of veterans themselves. And please, you know, if you want to call in and offer whatever opinions you have about it. Maybe you've had some personal experiences dealing with it. But this is the time to talk about it. You know, David mentioned Camp Hope before, and you know, one of the things about Camp Hope that was great is the way it provided 24/7 one-on-one, not just with a licensed psychologist, but other people who are residents at the Camp Hope. It's a spiritual-based program dealing specifically with combat veterans suffering from PTSD, and their success rate is pretty cool. You know, you don't stay there for 30 days. You know, it's a 12-step program, and you don't stay there for 30 days. You stay there probably a minimum of 9 months, and even longer. So, you know, these are professionals. These are the people who have dealt with PTSD, dealt with a veteran, and they've had success, and they've had certain programs that work, like Camp Hope. So, you know, veterans and families of veterans, as bleak as the situation may look, definitely listen to the professionals. You know, in this time, right, with everything that we're going through right now with the pandemic, you know, so everything is even heightened to a higher level. So if someone has a normal feeling of depression, I guarantee you're probably feeling even more depressed because of the pandemic. So, you know, we all need to be aware and help our veterans. Back to you, David.
Good advice. Thanks, Rick. Now, a third tape, thanks to the VA this evening, will offer advice about managing stress and dealing with all the large and small stressors that we face in our lives. So, Doug, if you'll please roll the third tape. Managing stress.
We all know what it's like to feel stressed, and we all deal with it differently. But how much stress is too much? Your body will let you know when you're overstressed, with muscle tension, sweaty palms, or difficulty sleeping. You might feel worried, fearful, fatigued, irritable, or have a hard time concentrating. These can be the signs of stress, but the consequences can be much larger, both on your life and those around you. The solution is to keep your stress under control with stress management skills. Mike went through a period of high stress. He was laid off from his job and running out of savings. The financial strain was keeping him up at night. He was irritable and tense, and even had digestive problems. At the VA, Mike got help finding ways to manage his stress, such as thinking differently about his problems and making time for hobbies and activities like walking his dog. The physical activity helped Mike relax and be mindful of his stress, and he learned some new problem-solving skills. He focused on potential solutions and not just the problems, even progress, like visualizing himself starting a new job. Getting exercise and thinking positively helped Mike get back into the job market. Finding ways to physically relax can be extremely helpful. Joe was feeling detached from his grandkids as his aches and pains were keeping him from keeping up. But since he took relaxation classes at his VA and started doing light physical activity at home, Joe has found that he feels better, both physically and emotionally, and is able to enjoy more time with his family. Relationship problems? We've all had them. George and Vicky's relationship was suffering due to time management-related stresses. Working late, arguing over who would pick up the kids, and spending their only time together in silence. Time constraints led the Johnsons to stop cooking meals, and their new fast food diet took its toll on their wallets and their waists. The Johnsons took a stress management class at the VA and learned that making a plan and sticking to it could ease their stress. They used problem-solving skills to determine who would pick up the kids and make dinner on which days. And in the process, they made time to go on walks together. They learned no matter how challenging life becomes, help is available. To learn more about how to manage stress, talk with your healthcare provider or visit www.prevention.va.gov. VA Healthcare is defining excellence in the 21st century.
Well, thanks again to the VA for that very informative advice on the topic of managing stress. And again, the website is prevention.va.gov, in case you didn't get that. Before we turn to news, we have several segments of news and information for veterans and their families. Let's go back over to Rick Hurley. Rick, what are your impressions on that?
No, it's, again, just another good tape. David, appreciate you finding all these tapes, and recommend to our listeners, maybe you just tuned in, we archive all our shows, so please go back and listen to these three tapes. You don't need to listen to me, but listen to these three tapes, because they're very important, and they offer some guidance. And something that just have to learn to overcome a very, very horrific disorder. Sometimes it can be just amazing. I think, I'm thinking back on all the hearings I've had lately. I think 90% of the hearings I've had have dealt with PTSD, depression, or anxiety. So, all right, back to you. I guess, David, let me get through some news.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to the interest to veterans and their families. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs announced on September the 16th its commitment to extend debt relief to veterans adversely impacted by natural disasters. The department recognizes veterans and beneficiaries are negatively impacted by the wildfires and hurricanes, prompting the offering of financial debt relief. Veterans and their families should be focused on their health and safety during these natural disasters, said VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. VA is taking action to give those with pending debts greater flexibility during these challenging times. This includes the suspension of debt collection action for up to 90 days or extending the repayment terms on pre-existing VA debts, whichever the veteran prefers. To request assistance for VA financial debt relief, veterans should contact the VA Debt Management Center at 1-800-827-0648. You know, David, this kind of plays into the tapes that we were talking about with the anxiety and depression. Certainly, if a veteran is hindered by some debt, that can lead to some anxiety and depression associated with that debt. And you kind of feel like you're stuck in a box and you don't know how to get out. Well, here's a remedy that the VA is offering for you, and you should take advantage of it. You should contact that VA Debt Management Center, and that number, again, is 1-800-827-0648. Look for all the remedies that can help you deal with the current pandemic. Back to you, David.
And in related financial news, on Thursday, September the 24th, the VA announced that the VA is allowing home mortgage loan deferments for veterans who have experienced financial hardship due to the COVID-19 national emergency. In a previous executive order, President Trump had directed federal agencies to rescind, modify, waive, or provide exemptions from regulations and other requirements that may inhibit the economic recovery during this time. Many veterans have taken advantage of the loan forbearance program provided by the congressionally enacted Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, also known as the CARES Act. Under that act, borrowers who have federally backed loans can receive forbearance of their monthly home loan payments for up to 360 days. Forbearance does not mean forgiveness. As veterans exit their CARES Act forbearance periods, they must work with their mortgage companies to determine when to repay the missed amounts. So it's not a perfect solution, but it certainly is something that can provide some relief in the near term. Now, to protect against predatory lending, VA regulations generally prohibit a large lump sum balloon payment from being included in the loan, in the home loan. However, in temporarily waiving the regulation in these limited circumstances, it means that veterans have additional options when resuming regular monthly payments after a CARES Act forbearance without penalty or additional interest or late fees. According to VA Secretary Robert Wilkie, quote, "A loan deferment can work like a reset button to help alleviate economic burdens some veterans may be experiencing. Providing loan deferment as an option could be the one thing standing between financial normalcy and foreclosure," unquote. Now, the VA cannot, cannot require mortgage companies to offer loan deferments. Veterans, however, again, the VA has waived their existing regulation to provide an option that should provide some help to veterans in working with their mortgage companies. Veterans who want to know whether a particular loan deferment is an option should consult their mortgage company directly. And, of course, they can use the VA.gov website under their public affairs. They'll find a press release about the September 24th news from the VA about home mortgage loan deferments as being a possible option for them. Back over to you, Rick.
In other news, we've reported in prior shows the success of telehealth services during the COVID-19 pandemic. In recent news, the VA announced its plans to further expand the telehealth program access for veterans. The VA announced on September 15th a new collaboration with Apple to increase veterans' access to virtual care benefits. VA's OddPad program provides qualifying veterans with cellular-enabled iPads to access telehealth services and currently helps more than 50,000 veterans across the country connect to VA healthcare services virtually. VA will continue to work diligently to provide veterans with the tools and resources necessary to access quality healthcare when and where they need it, said VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. VA's partnership with Apple is an integral step in helping to bridge the digital divide for veterans everywhere. This is particularly critical during the COVID-19 public health emergency when telehealth is being leveraged to protect the safety and well-being of both our veterans and clinicians. VA has been a leader in telehealth services for decades and began the Connected Tablet Program in 2016. A VA study found veterans who received tablets reported high levels of satisfaction with care, were less likely to miss appointments, and found it easier and more convenient to access VA care. To standardize the program and provide veterans a consistent quality experience, VA will exclusively distribute iPads to veterans. iPads offer veterans a combination of portability, user experience, data privacy, and security made possible through Apple's integrated hardware and software platform. As part of VA's commitment to supporting veteran healthcare, patients can also securely view and download their personal media data using the health records on iPhone feature from Apple. Veterans who don't currently have a video-capable device or internet service and are interested in VA's Telepass iPad program should consult their VA healthcare team to determine their eligibility. Sounds like a great opportunity for our vets, right from the comfort of your own home, to be able to get some counseling and whatever else the telehealth program is going to provide you. Back to you, David.
That's good. The VA announced on September 14th that it recently awarded $1.3 million in grants to 11 regional homelessness nonprofit organizations to bolster suicide prevention services for veterans who are experiencing or who are at risk of homelessness. We've had guests on our shows in the past that deal with the homeless issue, deal with housing issues, that work for various nonprofit community-based organizations to help veterans. And hopefully those organizations are looking into whether they might be able to use these grants to help their local communities. Now, the VA's combined public health approach to preventing suicide and addressing the homelessness issue, it aims to improve the identification of veterans who are in need within the community. It helps to increase veteran community awareness of suicide risk and protective factors, and also to increase veterans' connectiveness to the community and to care resources. Because if the veterans don't know these resources out there, it's as if the resources don't exist at all. So that information is important to get out there. VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said, quote, "Our data shows veterans are at particular risk for suicide within 30 days of an eviction or the onset of homelessness, especially when it is paired with other risk factors such as financial instability and difficulty meeting basic needs. In response, the VA is working hard during this challenging time to ensure veterans who are experiencing or who are at risk of homelessness have the support they need," unquote. The funds are awarded will be managed and dispersed by the VA Supportive Services for Veterans Family Program. They offer an array of services. So if you're in this area of veteran assistance, it might be something to look into. All right, Rick, back over to you.
Thank you, David. Another recent news, the President's roadmap to empower veterans and end a national tragedy of suicide. Another fancy an acronym saying PREVENTS, PREVENTS, the President's roadmap to empower veterans and end a national tragedy of suicide. This office and the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs announced on September 10th that 42 states and one U.S. territory signed the PREVENTS State Proclamation pledging their prioritization of suicide prevention for veterans and all citizens in their jurisdiction. Each state pledging promises to promote and amplify the REACH public health campaign that encourages everyone to reach out to those who are vulnerable and to reach out when they themselves are in need of help. As part of the implementation of the President's roadmap, the PREVENTS office is meeting with state and community leaders in all 50 states and territories to ensure best practices for suicide prevention are identified and applied. Efforts are coordinated within the state and federal government, and the public health messages are promoted before the initiative concludes in March 2022. With the commitment of our nation's governors, this undertaking has moved beyond an idea to reality, as it is only viable when governors enlist the full authority and backing of their state to combat this crisis, said VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. September is National Suicide Prevention Month, and through the outpouring of support echoed by governors issuing state proclamations, their efforts assist with meeting the requirements of the President's White House Task Force for PREVENTS, which provides the nation with an essential collaborative forum to address this national crisis through local and state-focused solutions to help us end veteran suicide. Once again, you know, that focus on veteran suicide, I think they still say there's like 22 a day, is a hot topic. And if you know of a family that's been through it, it's pretty dreadful. You know, losing anyone is a tough thing, but when you lose them through the results of suicide, it leaves a cloud. Anyone who's been through, whether it's suicide relating to a veteran in combat or suicide just from home. I know my own family. We dealt with it 40 years ago with an uncle of mine. And it's a cloud. So anything that we can do to prevent suicide, let's do it. Back to you, David.
Yes, thanks, Rick. Now, this PREVENTS office that you mentioned is trying to work with all the states and on the various U.S. territories to get from the top down leadership from the governors throughout the state and local communities to commit to this issue of preventing suicide in their states, including veterans, but but non-veteran populations within their states as well. Certainly, that's all important. It's not just veterans. But the Prevents Office is working with lots of organizations, not just veteran service organizations or military service organizations, but also business leaders, academic institutions, and faith-based communities. And they're holding visits in states around the country. According to the Prevents Office Executive Director, Dr. Barbara Van Dalen, quote, collaborating with state and community leaders to advance the mission of suicide prevention for veterans and all Americans is imperative as we move forward to change the culture around mental health in general and suicide in particular. We will continue to elevate and amplify the great work our states are already doing as we leverage lessons learned and best practices to accelerate our efforts to heal families and save lives, unquote. So it's an important program, and as we talk about every week, we also talk about the VA's Coaching into Care program, which we'll have a reminder in about 10 minutes near the end of our show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, as Rick had mentioned, this is a call-in show. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. Our toll-free nationwide call-in number is 1-888-627-6008, 1-888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, let's go back over to Rick Hurley for more news.
And here's an idea for the show, David. If veterans, if you're listening to the show and you don't hear, you'd like to hear us discuss a certain topic, please either call in and let us know what the topic is, or you can email us, and we'll give you that information at the end of the show. And, you know, David and I will spend the week doing some research and try to get back and devote part of a show to whatever issue you may have. That's another way to give the veteran. Again, remember, people, this is the Veterans News Hour. So this is your show. We're here to try to give you as much news as we can and input and topics. So chime in. In other news, on September 14th, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Office of Management announced a data breach involving the personal information of approximately 46,000 veterans and actions taken by the department to prevent and mitigate any potential harm to those individuals. Financial Service Center determined one of its online applications was accessed by unauthorized users to divert payments to community health care providers for the medical treatment of veterans. The FSC took the application offline and reported the breach to the VA's privacy office. A preliminary review indicates these unauthorized users gained access to the application to change financial information and divert payments from VA by using social engineering techniques and exploiting authentication protocols. To prevent any future improper access to and modification of information, system access will not be re-enabled until a comprehensive security review is completed by the VA Office of Information Technology. To protect these veterans, the FSC is alerting the affected individuals, including the next of kin of those who are deceased, of the potential risk to their personal information. The department is also offering access to credit monitoring services at no cost to those whose Social Security numbers have been compromised. Veterans whose information was involved are advised to follow the instructions in the letter to protect their data. There is no action needed from the veterans if they did not receive an alert by mail, as their personal information was not involved in the incident. Veterans or veteran next of kin that receive information, their information is potentially at risk from this incident, can direct specific questions to FSC Customer Help Desk to VAFSC Veterans Support at VA.gov. That's VAFSCV Veterans Support at VA.gov. Let me do that correctly. VAFS, then Veterans Support at VA.gov. Or writing to the VAFSC Help Desk Attention Customer Engagement Center, P.O. Box 149971, Austin, Texas. And that phone number is...
zip code.
That's the zip code. I'm sorry, 78714-9971. Again, that address is VAFSC Help Desk Attention Customer Engagement Center, P.O. Box 149971, Austin, Texas. Zip is 78714-9971. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Rick. On September 8th, VA press release stated that a recently published study shows veterans receiving outpatient care from the VA healthcare facilities or community providers within the VA's network are generally pleased with their experience. The study called Veterans Experiences with Outpatient Care, Comparing the Veterans Affairs System with Community Care, Community-Based Care, it compared survey responses from more than 1 million veterans who received outpatient care from VA facilities or private providers within the VA's Choice Act network and found most rated their experiences highly. The authors of the study, led by Dr. Megan Vanneman, PhD, a research scientist at VA's Salt Lake City Healthcare Systems Informatics Decision Enhancement and Analytic Science Center, and the University of Utah School of Medicine, say the results are consistent with past studies showing where VA generally matches or outperforms care delivered in the private sector. According to VA Secretary Robert Wilkie, and I quote, veterans now have increased options for where they get their medical care, and VA is working to ensure they have a positive experience regardless of where that care is delivered. This study helps affirm the quality of VA care and also suggests community providers are doing a good job of meeting veterans' needs, unquote. And anecdotally, from a lot of veterans that I work with, most, certainly not all of them, most are pleased with the care they get in the VA healthcare system. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, that's true, and I really find a lot of the veterans talk real positive about the clinics. I know in the state of Florida, for instance, we've an area called the Villages. Everyone raves about the care that they get out there. And I know veterans who don't live in the Villages, who might live, you know, maybe 30 minutes away, 45 minutes away, but they'll make the trip in to go to that clinic. So maybe veterans, you know, around you, if you haven't done it before, you know, check out the local VA clinic. Because they apparently they're very good and very helpful to the needs of our vets. While the results of this survey analyzed veterans' experiences prior to the enactment of the Maintaining Internal Systems and Strengthening Integrated Outside Networks Act of 2018, the study authors say veteran-reported experience of VA community care continue to be important indicators of healthcare quality and merit attention from researchers. Recently, a veteran signal survey found veterans' trust in VA at an all-time high. Veterans of Foreign Wars survey of nearly 7,000 members found that more than 9 in 10 to 10 respondents would recommend VA care to other veterans. Back to you, David.
Well, thanks. Now, changing topics a bit, you know, in this time of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and just the horrendous effects it's had on the country, and those effects have included economic effects, many people losing their jobs. I wanted to offer a positive note, and this is coming from the VA. The VA is always looking for skilled and dedicated people to join its workforce, and the VA does have job openings, as we've mentioned on various occasions over the last several years on this show. And in some good news for those considering employment with the VA, Forbes magazine has named the United States Department of Veterans Affairs one of America's best employers in 17 states in its second annual survey of America's best employers by state. According to the survey, VA is a top-ranked employer in 17 states, including Arizona, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, Ohio, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia, and was ranked as a top 10 employer in 5 of those states. Iowa, Kentucky, Montana, Rhode Island, and South Dakota. According to VA Secretary Robert Wilkie, quote, these survey results are the latest proof that we are turning this department around. Listening to our employees helps us deliver better customer service to veterans, but it also makes for happier, more motivated staff members, unquote. Now, Forbes' findings underscore similar ones over the last 2 years from the Partnerships for Public Service, which show the VA has boosted its rating from 17th to 6th among large federal agencies in its annual Best Places to Work survey of federal employees. Now, if you're interested in finding out what VA jobs might be available in your area, go to the VA website, which is va.gov/jobs. So more information on jobs with the VA, employment opportunities, go to the website va.gov/jobs. Back over to you, Rick.
Yeah, David, I'm listening to your last topic there, and one thing I was wondering was, I wonder if they broke that down between the hospital side versus the benefit side.
I don't know.
Well, I'd be very interested to see if they broke it down that far, as opposed to just an overall.
Well, the far larger size is the side of the VA is the healthcare administration.
Right,
That's the far largest part of their employment, and I think that's where most people would find the most employment opportunities on the healthcare side. But I wanted to mention that because we are living in a time where people are looking for employment, and there's a lot of benefits for working for the federal government and working for the VA. They're helping veterans and their families. And the good news, and I think it's important that we bring out good news when it's there, and that is that the VA has made some vast improvements in recent years, two or three years, and as those surveys have indicated, and these are from outside organizations, that more VA employees are satisfied, they're happier working there. Certainly not all.
Sure.
I know anecdotally we probably know some VA employees that are not really happy.
Yeah.
The environment, we know that, but overall, it is there, and certainly, as we've mentioned many times over the last several years, the healthcare side has a lot of job openings.
Yeah, I forget what that number was a while ago. It was like 37,000 or something.
Yeah, and the vast majority, nearly all those, were on the healthcare side.
Yeah.
And it doesn't require being necessarily a doctor or a nurse, but there are many other important jobs. And so check out va.gov/jobs if you're interested, or pass that website on to someone that you may know. So we got about 3 minutes left, Rick. So
let me go to coaching and care. But before I do the coaching and the care, in that same vein, veterans, if you have been procrastinating about applying for your benefits that you feel are the result of your service, and you feel that you're entitled to certain compensation benefits for you, this is a good time to get out there and apply for it. There's plenty of money there in the VA system to compensate you veterans for the services that you rendered for your country. So you might find an extra 20%, 30%, 50%, maybe 100% might help the family finances. So that's just another thing to think about. So before we close, I want to provide our weekly reminder to veterans and their families about the important program called Coaching into Care. This program helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call. Toll free at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I would like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. That number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Back to you.
Thanks, Rick. It's time for us to go for this evening. We would like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Corey and Hurley Law Group, which represents veterans and disability cases. We'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. We hope you'll tune in next week, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and we hope you have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.